Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Longtime major leaguer, now with MLB Network. Mike Lowell, you can watch Mike coming up on MLB Tonight at 6 p.m. Plus, MLB Network will feature the Mariners at the Angels later tonight at 10 Eastern. Mike, how you doing? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing great. Nice plug. Thank you, guys.
You got it. You got it. You know, last night, Mike, brutal loss for the Indians. Up 4-0 in the ninth. Cody Allen gives up 6 runs. Indians give up 7 runs to Cincinnati. Terry Francona, Carl Willis have a little miscommunication. Who do you blame in this situation? I mean, you know, two nicknames that are similar. You end up bringing in Dan Otero to face Joey Votto, which is a huge disaster. Who do you blame in that situation, Mike?
Well, I mean, I think, unfortunately, as much as I love him, and I think Tito owned up to it, he's the manager, so ultimately it's going to come on him. But, yeah, you don't see that very often, especially in today's world where you have video in the dugouts where you can kind of check out who's warming up. But I think, you know, things are probably pretty intense when you have a comfortable lead going into the ninth. You're thinking the game's sewn up. And, yeah, I think there are some games that feel like a dagger to the heart a little more than others. I'm sure no one in the Indians clubhouse right now is feeling all that great, but the beauty is they can bounce back the next day and you win today and you kind of put everything in the back burner. But
right,
you know, the Indian their division is for me, they're in like a little bit of a, I don't know, mysterious place, because they're going to win the division easily, but you don't want to just coast in your division and then try to have to turn on the light switch come postseason time. So
right.
You know, you don't want these games to get away by any means.
You know, you mentioned that you love Francona. You played for him 5 years, right? Do I have that right? 5 years?
Yeah.
And obviously you won a World Series with him. Tell us about him, like, from your perspective. Tell us what you love about Francona.
Well, for me, what I appreciated the most, you know, being in a market in Boston where I think everything is scrutinized and second-guessed and, you know, over and over by multiple people, I think he does a great job of letting the guys be themselves, you know, because I think if you make everyone kind of follow suit and be like, you know, that marching band where everyone does the same thing at the same time, I almost think you take away the identity of your team, you know, and kind of the cool part of a team is how, at least what I enjoyed, is that how many different people come together. You know, there's guys from, you know, you got a lot of Latin American players, you got guys from the States, you got guys from, you know, Asia, and that whole thing of coming together is what I think really makes teams unique and interesting. So if you expect guys from so many different cultures to all act and react the same way, I think you're almost taken away from, you know, everyone becoming themselves and being comfortable in their own skin. I think Tito does a great job of that, allowing the players to be the players, but still understanding that there's a separation. You are the player, I'm the manager, so ultimately if something, you know, goes down, it's his call, and you have to respect that. But I think he built a relationship where he earned that respect by allowing you to be a man and be yourself, because there's always going to be a tough time during the season where he's going to have to make a decision where someone might not be playing or might not get, you know, the start or the ball or whatever the case may be. And I think he earns that throughout the season and the way he treats his guys.
You look at last night's game, and obviously the Indians lose devastating fashion at the end in the ninth inning. But what was lost is Trevor Bauer was awesome in this game. And he really, Mike, he's been so good this year. It's been a pleasant surprise. Have you been surprised by Bauer's performances?
Not surprised, because the stuff's there, and he's had really nice stretches. And I don't think last night was, you know, a singular issue. I think he's been awesome all year, you know. And I think he's really coming into his own and understanding his stuff, because I look at the strikeouts and it seems like every time he goes out it's 10 plus strikeouts, you know. So I mean he's dominating guys, you know, especially those at bats where you gotta you know, get into the tank a little bit, and you need the strikeout. It seems like he's been able to do that this year better than any year. I think that's part of the maturity process. You know, I remember him coming up. He got a little bit of that weird rap because he had, you know, all his funky training things and prep things and the things that really weren't, you know, what is normally done. But, hey, results talk. And he keeps pitching that way. People are going to start seeking out. Hey, what is it that you do? This is the, let me try this out. So I think it's been cool because you put him with, you know, Kluber, Carrasco. I throw Clevinger in there. Man, that's a rotation where come playoff time, there aren't a lot of offenses that are like, man, I can't wait to face those four guys because I'm really going to start teeing off. So, you know, the better those guys get, the deeper they are and much tougher to beat in the postseason.
Yeah, you mentioned the deep rotation. You know, last year, Mike, for whatever reason, the Indians only used three starters in the playoffs, which I thought was a mistake. They did it out of necessity in 2016. Jerry Krasnick of ESPN wrote an article today saying maybe the Indians will do it again. I don't understand. They've got that good depth you mentioned in their rotation. You know, guys don't pitch on 3 days rest anymore. Why would does it make any sense for the Indians to go just three pitchers in the playoffs?
Not now, because yeah. I think the personnel is very different. You know, and I do believe there's a little bit of an after effect of going so deep in the postseason and using your bullpen. I mean, it's an extra month. Sometimes it's an extra 15, 20 innings for relievers. You know, the way, you know, Andrew Miller is used, where, you know, you manage in the postseason very different than the regular season. You know, rarely you're going to ask Andrew Miller to go more than two innings, maybe two if the matchups are right. But, I mean, the postseason, he was going, what, 3 1/3 every once in a while, you know, because he's so good. So you have that luxury. But, you know, the bullpen, unfortunately, isn't this year what we've kind of been spoiled and seen the last couple of years. I know Miller's been hurt. But, you know, Cody Allen is, you know, I'd say pitching not up to his standards. And I don't know. Brian Shaw, although he hasn't been great in Colorado, sometimes it just seems like that three-man mix was really effective. And so you can go to a three-man rotation when you have that depth, you know, that personnel depth. I think the depth this year is in the starting rotation. So it might be flip-flopped. So but I don't know. Overall, when I look at that rotation, I think it's better than the Yankees' starting rotation. I think it's better than the Yankees. I think the Reds, they're on par with the Red Sox. And I put Houston as basically the only team that I think the rotation is better come playoff time.
Mike, when you look at the moves this team can make with the bullpen, because you look at Allen and Miller and those guys could be gone after next year, are you looking to get arms who are locked up, or are you okay with going after, you know, a rental or two for the bullpen?
Great question, because I think it comes up to what the people upstairs are willing to swallow. Because do you go for it and make this the year, or do you say, hey, let's get a little better, but we might be a lot better, you know, this might be better for our club as a whole 3-4 years down the road? And unfortunately, Cleveland doesn't, you know, they don't play with the bankroll that New York or L.A. or Boston might have. So those questions are much more, I don't know, I would say they're much more important questions for an organization, because I don't think you can empty the well. If you give up two big prospects to go after two arms that you think can shore up the bullpen, I mean, do you handicap yourself for 4 years? So it's so tough. I mean, I know, I would say, yeah, are they going to look for upgrade help? Yeah, are they going to overhaul and just, you know, do what you saw sometimes where the Yankees, you know, when they unloaded Miller and Chapman, all those guys, and they beefed up with five big time prospects? No, I don't think it's that. I think it'll be somewhere in between. And, you know, getting Andrew Miller back is like picking up you're picking up an all-star reliever and not giving anything in order to get that. So I think he's huge, obviously. But they hit, though. It's a fun offense to watch. So, you know, you hear all these rumors with Manny Machado. I'm like, how much better do they got to be? But it's cool to kind of debate it and dissect it, but I still think there's a lot of baseball left. I think guys like Allen and when Miller come back, they can settle into their own, because you're asking guys to do a lot of stuff when guys are hurt. You're asking guys to be put in positions that either they're not comfortable in, or really their repertoire is not really fit for the role they're being asked to do at this point.
Speaking of bullpen, non-Indians related, but the Astros just sent Ken Giles to the minors after he I guess, may have cursed out his own manager yesterday when he got pulled out of the game in that wild ending there. Speaking of guy, I mean, they gave up a ton to get him, and obviously there's been some up and down with him. Are you surprised he goes to the minors today?
Yeah. I actually that's great news because I had no idea. We were actually watching the game, and we were scared, you know, he might punch himself in the face again because he's that emotional. I think it, you know, that's probably more of a wake up call that, hey, no one's a non-replaceable person. But yeah, you look at Houston, and when you see how good they are, you know, what do they need? I think they need a closer as well. You know, so I think that reliever market come, you know, these next couple of weeks with the trade deadline, I think there are going to be a lot of guys moving around. I mean, you know, how good would any team look with, you know, Zach Britton on them? You know, but what is it going to cost? I'm not giving two big prospects to rent a guy for 2 months. I just can't do it. I can't do it.
No, I'd honestly rather the Indians trade for Brad Hand or Iglesias.
I'm with you.
Yeah. I mean, I know those guys are going to cost a lot, but Hand in particular is cost controlled because his salaries are set for the next 3 years, which makes sense for the Indians with the possibility of losing Allen and Miller. So I think that makes more sense than giving a – plus Britton, you know, is coming off the injury, so he's a bigger risk, I think.
Oh, I agree with you. I just think Hand at this point might cost you a lot more
for that
same reason, you know, for the cost certainty and for the fact that you know you'll have them. It's not just a rental. So, yeah, it's you know, you look at your organization and are you deep enough to give up, you know, X, Y, and Z, and how much better is the guy going to be, and, you know, is it worth – I think Cleveland's in a weird spot because I don't think their decisions are based on the other teams in their division right now. You know, you almost base it off, if we get a guy, does that mean Yankees, Red Sox, and Astros don't get him? You know, it's almost a two-for-one. And you almost have to look at it that way as well because those are teams you're going to go up against. You know, this year, yeah, everything might change in a couple of years. A lot of prospects for, you know, whatever, the White Sox or, you know, Royals or whoever is in you know, the AL Central might turn things around quickly. But I can't think that long term. You know, if I'm the Indians right now, I still think they're good enough to, hey, you get hot. We've seen it so many times. It's not always the best record. It's the team that's playing really good baseball at the end of September. They seem to keep going.
If the Indians got Machado, like, how much better does that make them? Is it worth it? Like, do you think that puts them over the hump? Obviously, they're going to make some moves in the bullpen. I just assume that's going to happen. But, like, if you got Machado in that lineup, what does it do for them? Like, they're already pretty good.
They're very good. I think it makes you possibly the best offense in the league. But, once again, what am I giving up for 2 months of Machado? You know, and that's where I'm like, if you're willing to give – whatever pieces it's going to cost to Machado, I guarantee you can probably get tremendous bullpen help for those same pieces. So I don't see the offense as, like, necessary. Now, if you say we'll trade Machado and you give me a 48-hour window to talk about a little 7-year extension, oh, okay. You know, that changes things. But I'm not sure Manny's in that boat because it just seems like everyone wants to wait. And, I mean, you look at between him and Bryce Harper –
yeah,
like, I'd rather be Manny Machado right now, you know.
So he's playing better.
Yeah, he's playing better. You know, there's a premium position, whether it's short or third. You know, Bryce Harper's dropping a .216 average. I know he gets on base. I know he's still a formidable bat. I'm not giving up on the guy, but between the two, I think I'd rather be Manny Machado right now.
You know, it's funny that you bring up Harper because obviously he gets more love nationally, especially from casual fans, because he's got the big name. I said a month ago that Jose Ramirez clearly has been a much better player than Bryce Harper for the last 3 years. I don't even think it's close, frankly, Mike. And some people reacted, like I said, the craziest thing ever. But Jose Ramirez may be the most underrated player nationally in all of baseball, I think.
I'm with you. And after the All-Star game last year, I said Jose Ramirez is the best third baseman in the league. And I got more looks and more responses. They're like, Chris Bryan and Josh Donaldson. I'm not saying those guys aren't good players. But look at the numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy is a beast. And I think what makes it even more impressive is he's not 6'5", 230. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it is just doubles and homers every single night. So I'm with you there, man. I think he's one of the guys where even when you go with, you know, the young shortstops, and, of course, Lindor's fantastic and Correa's great and all that, but when you go straight production, Ramirez is up there with every single player in the big leagues. You know, so I don't view you as being crazy, and you know, I just think, you know, Harper as the first pick, and you know, with Boris coming out saying $400 million a couple years ago, you know, you got a lot of jockeying and posturing going on. And the fact that he's so young, I mean, he's going to be a free agent at 25, 26, something like that, something crazy. But, yeah, there's a lot of good baseball in, I guess, in that D.C. Baltimore area right now. It's going to be interesting what happens with their main guys.
Mike, if Moises Alou does not jump up and down, is Steve Bartman a pariah in Chicago?
I don't think so. You know, and it's funny because I actually played Little League my whole life with Alex Gonzalez, the shortstop of the Cubs at the time.
Yeah.
And
he made a big error.
He did, you know. Yeah. And he's admitted it and owned up to it. And I'm like, that was maybe the best distraction that ever happened, you know. And I think as you look back at it now, well, people forget it was still a strike. Like, I had such a different perspective because, you know, that Marlins team, we're in the dugout.
Yeah.
So we didn't get any of that TV feed going on with Bartman.
Right.
And we just knew as things kept going on, that we had a police officer in the dugout, and he gets called, and you know the TV guys like they are, the cameraman, they're like they're crushing this guy. People are throwing food at him and everything. So we didn't really understand what was going on until after the fact. So I was, I think the Marlins players on that 03 team were kind of out of the loop more than anyone, and I think it's just unfortunate because honestly. He's a diehard Cubs fan because, I mean, who goes to the game listening to the game on headphones to hear it, to hear the play-by-play? And I think 99 out of 100 people in his situation would have reached over for the ball. But I still go back saying we were five outs away from being eliminated. And it wasn't like it was an error that two runs came in.
Yeah.
It was one pitch.
Well,
so, thankfully for us, a lot of guys came through with big hits after that, and, the rest was history. But, it's a shame that I think he was kind of – earmarked as the reason why the Cubs didn't win when I think there were many more factors that came in after that.
Yeah, I blame Dust. Anyway, I'm a Cubs fan, so I was bitter about that for many. And you killed us in that series, Mike. What'd you hit, two home runs? Yeah, I think you had an OPS of like 900 in that series.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not sorry for it, but it was weird for me because I broke my hand. I missed the last month of the season. I only had two at-bats in that Giants series, so I was finally starting to feel healthy, and it was a good feeling, hitting a home run in the postseason. I don't think anyone can say that's not one of their better feelings in their career. But so you're a Cubs fan covering Cleveland.
Yeah.
How'd you feel when the home runs hit in the ninth inning?
Well, it was an awkward World Series for me in 2016 because working here 7 years. If the Indians are playing anybody but the Cubs, I root for the Indians to win.
I'm
attached to the Indians, but you grow up rooting for a team. It just works out that way. It's funny. Mike, let's wrap it up with a little Mike Lowell trivia. You ready?
Uh-oh. Sure.
Here we go. You were only traded twice in your career. You were traded in the beginning of your career when you were with the Yankees, right?
Correct.
And you were traded again from the Marlins to the Red Sox. There is, of all the players that were traded in those two deals, including yourself, we're talking about, 10 players traded in those two trades, including yourself. Who is the only one of those 10 players that is still on a major league roster today? Tough one.
God, I was going to say Hanley Ramirez, but he just got released.
Yep.
Oh, Annabelle Sanchez.
You got it. Nice job. There it is. I thought that was a tie. I was going to stump you on that one.
It was. That was a good one.
That was a good one. Yeah, he's still hanging around with the Braves. Mike, we appreciate the time, man. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks,
Mike.
Thanks for having me.
All right, there's Mike Lowell. He's great. He's on MLB Tonight at 6 p.m.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.